Dr. Chambers, welcome home, and thank you for joining us in the studio today. I say home, you live in Telluride, Colorado now, but Callaway County is kind of what set you on the path to a career in climate science and agriculture.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I grew up on a farm and outside of Crossland, Kentucky, and spent a lot of years working on the farm. And that farm work with my schoolwork prepared me really well for my job right now and allowed me to go around this country. And also, I traveled the world quite a bit and been on farms all over the world. And you see some interesting operations. But My roots in Callaway County are near and dear to my heart. I love it here. My upbringing here taught me values, taught me the value of hard work and hard work on the farm. And then my educational background, Murray State set me up for a nice educational opportunity at Yale. Yale set me up for a nice doctorate opportunity over in Europe, where I worked in China and India and Pakistan, and now I really want to help the U.S. ag sector move forward on this climate issue.
The reality of climate change is something that is actually still debated in this country. As a co-founder of the Pinhead Climate Institute, which is an organization that strives to educate young scientists and implement local-level climate actions, that's my understanding, and a career that has focused on the applied sciences in reducing atmospheric pollutants, what do you say to people that are on the fence, specifically in agriculture, about climate change still?
Well, you don't have to call it climate change if you don't want. You can call it increased carbon dioxide concentrations in our atmosphere, and I'm fine with that. All I'm trying to do is work on solutions that move carbon out of our atmosphere and into our terrestrial biosphere, right? So we can move carbon out of the atmosphere where we have too much of it and put it into soils and biomass, and that addresses warming, which is caused by increased carbon in the atmosphere.
Do people get hung up on the word climate change?
Yeah, in this country, people get hung up on the word climate change. They get hung up on the words global warming. They get hung up on the words global climate change. I think this is all semantics, though, and we really need to just get on with it. We recognize that the science is strong. Science is a body of literature that keeps moving forward, and it proves that too much carbon in the atmosphere holds too much heat. We have to remove that carbon. We can do it through healthy soils and through reducing our emissions.
The U.S. government's most comprehensive climate report to date says that the world continues to warm and humans are the cause. The climate report discussed on NPR just yesterday said that the past 115 years are the warmest in the history of modern civilization. The global average temperature has increased about 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit over that period, and that greenhouse gases from industry and agriculture are by far the biggest contributor to warming. Can you talk a bit about whether or not this data is politically motivated and what the report says about agriculture's role specifically?
Yeah, I think I'll start with the political motivations. And as my training is, both from Murray State, from Callaway County High School, from the middle school, from my time at Southwest Elementary all the way through Yale and the Technical University in Vienna, where I got my doctorate, I've never been asked to spin my science to politics. Now, on the flip side, I've actually had politicians and bureaucrats ask me to downplay or manipulate my science. So the scientific community is all about improving our body of literature that says that humans are causing the climate to change on our planet. And we're doing that by putting emissions into the atmosphere and not removing them at the same rate we're putting them in. So we're getting an imbalance of carbon and greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and we need to move those out of the atmosphere. And that's the challenge to the people who are walking on this planet today and tomorrow. But we don't have 100 years to debate this. We have to move out on actions now, and that's really where my focus is.
Where does the ag industry come into play here?
So the truth is that agriculture, since the beginning of cultivated agriculture, humans have caused emissions to the atmosphere through agriculture. It might have been one of our first sources of pollution to the atmosphere, right? When we started cultivating crops, we plant one seed of corn and we harvest many grains of corn off of that same plant. However, agriculture is a small portion of the global segment of emissions in the atmosphere, but it can be a big player in reducing global emissions, carbon dioxide emissions in the atmosphere through something that we all learned in fourth grade or fifth grade, which is photosynthesis. So through photosynthesis, plants breathe in carbon dioxide and give off oxygen. Now, can we harvest that carbon dioxide that plants help us harvest, that remove from the atmosphere, and put it to use in healthy soils? And that's really where my focus is, on healthy soils and perennial biomass, so biomass that grows year after year after year and accumulates carbon.
There's a program through the USDA where you're currently working to implement conservation measures on managed agricultural lands that reduce greenhouse gas emissions and also works to enhance carbon sequestration. And it involves an emerging carbon market opportunity. Can you talk a bit about what the USDA is doing with carbon trading and how buying and selling carbon can kind of work to benefit U.S. landowners and the ag industry?
So I'm not here on behalf of USDA, so I can't necessarily talk entirely about USDA, but I can talk about the activities that we're doing through the Pinhead Climate Institute to purchase carbon offsets from a Colorado rancher who is generating carbon offsets. They are then verified or created, if you might, through a third party. That third party, in this case, is Ducks Unlimited, which many people are aware of, the big organization of Ducks Unlimited. And then the carbon credits are then purchased by the town that I work with and retired on behalf of half of our carbon footprint to improve our net environmental benefits to the atmosphere and to the environment.
California is kind of leading the way with the carbon market, right?
That's correct. In California, they have what's called a cap and trade program. So there are a bunch of industries that are capped, so they have to reduce their emissions, and then they can trade. And folks like agricultural producers, so farmers and ranchers, can generate these carbon credits and trade those into the market. And then they can be retired on behalf of the polluting industries, which cap and trade, it has its merits. It definitely has some deficiencies, but it seems to be working quite well in the state of California. And other states are looking to opt into California's cap and trade program.
Let's say a farmer hears this and they're interested in selling carbon. Who do they contact? Is it their local extension agent, the Department of Agriculture?
In Kentucky, the resources are very limited. They can definitely go out to their extension agents and to their local offices where they seek assistance. You know, this is a nascent market. This is an emerging market. So I don't want people to think that there's just these enormous opportunities of change now. But this is definitely going to be the change of the future. And this is an opportunity for farmers and ranchers to farm something else, right? Farm bushels of nature in addition to producing the product that they do and try to, you know, diversify their income and recover from some financial benefits from harvesting bushels of nature, if you might.
And that's really what moves things forward, is the financial benefit.
I am a strong believer in economics moving the needle on this. So getting a price on carbon, establishing a price on carbon is very important. Establishing a way to do business with farmers and ranchers who own, the 350 million acres of cropland in our country and the 400 or so million acres of grazing lands in our country, giving them an opportunity to harvest some economics from places other than typical commodity markets is something that I'm really passionate about.
This week is Ag Appreciation Week at Murray State. The Sierra Club asked you to talk with students and faculty earlier about climate change and agriculture. You also visited some students at Callaway County High School. In those interactions, did you find that educators here are prepared to talk to their students about climate change?
I think educators are timid on climate change because of the policy debate that's going on and the implications and the sharpness that sometimes you see educators receive for talking about it. And I encourage every educator out there to kind of get away from the politics and dig into the science. And there's some good science teachers out there right now, and I would encourage them to just take one segment, one class, and focus on climate change and say, what is the science of climate change? Not, again, I want to stay away from the politics, because that seems to be something in the United States that captivates the media. But the truth is that the planet's climate is changing, and humans are causing that change. And so all we have to do is tell our children and our students a little bit about what's causing that change. And it's no different than E equals MC squared. It's science. And that's what we want to stand up for, is science.
Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Really appreciate it.